I always try to find the yes. That is part of my personal philosophy, is look for the yes. And the no's, just say, okay, it just means that you got to go around the boulder this way and keep moving forward.
Hi, I'm Christine Shaw, CEO and president of Naylor Association Solutions, and I'm your host of the Association Advisor Podcast. We'll learn from successful association executives, partners, and clients on how to create a thriving, prosperous, and value-driven association. I invite you to join me in keeping informed and, most importantly, keeping your association profitable. Our goal is to leave you feeling inspired, more confident, and more knowledgeable. This is the Association Advisor Podcast. Hi, and welcome to the Association Advisor Podcast, brought to you by Naylor Association Solutions. I'm your host, Christine Shaw. Advocacy is a big part of what associations do, but in a quickly changing world, it can have a huge impact on how well associations can stand up for their members. Our guest today is Heather Maurer, CEO of the National Association of Nurse Practitioners in Women's Health. With more than 27 years of experience leading nonprofits and associations, Heather has built a reputation for guiding organizations through growth and transition with clarity and vision. At NPWH, Heather works to support practitioners who care for women and gender diverse individuals. Under Heather's leadership, NPWH has prioritized health equity, continuing education, and real-time member support. Heather brings a future-focused perspective on how associations can remain not just relevant, but truly impactful, even in uncertain times. I'm excited for you to hear our conversation, so let's get into it. Welcome, Heather.
Christine, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here.
Well, you certainly have an amazing background, so I'm excited to get into the conversation. So let's start with what you've done. You've led nonprofits and associations through growth, transition, and challenge. So from your perspective, what does the future look like?
Well, we are in an interesting time in American history right now. So I think that the future is really ripe for nonprofits and associations to lean in and take a leadership role. The future of associations is rooted in community, adaptability, and purpose. Members clearly are stating that they want more than just benefits. They want to be part of a mission-driven moment that reflects their values and helps them thrive professionally. Associations that succeed will be those that create nimble structures that deliver real-time resources that are honestly in the moment. And we know this news cycle is crazy. And I think we've all placed a lens on the news cycle because we could spend our whole day responding to things. And as we know, especially in the healthcare world, things are working their way through and out. And there's all these changes and there's conflict with what the government is saying versus what the medical associations are saying. There's definitely some conflict between science and evidence-based clinical practice. So, you know, the need to be responding, but also deciding where and how to use your political capital is in play. In my view, associations, they're not fading, they're not going to go away, but they're evolving, and they're evolving to lean in on the three major values that associations bring, which is advocacy, education, and connection.
That's amazing. I mean, Heather, as you know, there's a lot of leaders, perhaps maybe without your experience, which is why you see things in a very optimistic lens, that are struggling with what is the future and how can we succeed. And what you articulated was fantastic. And you're right, you're in the center of healthcare, which is definitely more at a crossroads in the midst of some of that conflict. So I'm sure it sits heavy on you. So how do you as a CEO balance member needs while adapting to the new policies, regulations, and public debate and controversy that sits at the moment?
Well, as you know, women's health is become extremely controversial, unfortunately. And there's an attack on women's access to healthcare right now, in particular in the reproductive healthcare space. I believe that it's about striking the right balance between responsiveness and stability. Our members look to MPWH to provide clarity and direction when the policy landscape shifts. They look to us to ensure that our collaborations with like-minded healthcare associations are happening, that we are talking to each other. Many of the meetings that I attend are with other leaders in the women's healthcare space in particular, but across healthcare in general. We're having these internal conversations to ensure that we are giving guidance to our members and also upholding and taking a stance on science and evidence-based clinical practice. And I think that's one of the strengths, that when you have collaborations and coalitions, that you are not out there by yourself, but that you are, I always say it's better to be the whale in the ocean than the minnow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you have 9 healthcare associations that represent over 500,000 healthcare providers in all sectors across the country coming out with a statement, it's much stronger. And that is powerful. And it also helps send a message, because there's a lot of misinformation that's out there. There are campaigns that are intended to cause confusion. And folks are, you know, myself included, trying to navigate this in our own personal healthcare, but also for our clinicians that are in practice that are dealing with this day in and day out in real time. At the same time, we're intentional about staying true to our core mission and our values. That grounding has helped us remain steady, even when the environment is unpredictable.
Yeah. Well, and I also want to talk about something you've said. Obviously, advocacy, one of the core values of associations, is key. But you've said you can't advocate without a following. So talk about the membership and the passion and how you gain that following and how you stay true to that. So talk a little bit about your engaged base and how you built that.
Well, one of the things that we do is we have a couple of different lenses that are applied to our programs when we're discussing developing something new and evaluating what we've done in the past. And one of the first things is this true to our mission, our vision, and our IDE commitment? We use the term IDE instead of DEI because we believe that inclusivity should be first, because without it, you won't achieve diversity or equity. Mm-hmm. And that lens and those discussions are had at the beginning. And we right now are in the process of developing a new position to serve as an advocacy staff person to help us navigate this particular climate and ensure that the actions that we're taking are true to our mission, true to our vision, and also upholding what our members want. When you join our organization, our mission is very clear in terms of access to all healthcare. And at the same time, we also respect an individual's choice and to be able to make decisions about their healthcare within their lived context. And that is staying true to our mission.
So in terms of MPWH, let's talk about some of your new member-centric initiatives that are exciting. And, you know, the first is your mobile app with real-time access to resources and peer connections. So tell us a little bit about what went into that and the decision-making around that.
Sure. So we know our members are super busy, especially our clinicians. They're on the front line of healthcare, and they need that instant access to resources as well as a sense of connection without barriers. And the app allows them to connect in real time, to share insights, to access continuing education right from their phone. Choosing an app wasn't just about technology and what platform to use, but it was about meeting our members where they are and developing and designing something that truly fits their daily lives.
That's great, because purpose-driven apps are what's sticky and what people rely on. We went through the whole app phases of, first there were apps on everything, then people walked away from them, and then what we've landed on is purpose-driven apps, specifically designed as you described your app is for your members' needs. That's fantastic to hear. But beyond that, you also have a podcast called Her Health Matters, which I love that title, and that dives into women and gender-related healthcare. So tell us a little bit more about the podcast and other media assets that become part of your association playbook?
Yes. So we have a podcast, and I'm really happy to share with the listeners today that we were nominated for an award, the PR Daily Nonprofit Communications Award. We're a finalist.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Fingers crossed.
Yes, fingers crossed. But being a finalist is awesome, especially only being 1 year out with our podcasts. So podcasts, as you know, are powerful because they humanize the work that we do. They're also a little more casual, an ability to be accurate and factual, but in a comfortable setting. Her Health Matters allows us to amplify women's health expert voices, discuss emerging issues, and create, as I said, a more casual approach to discussing evidence-based clinical practice and bringing ideas and thoughts and different ways of looking at clinical practice to our listeners. I see associations using podcasts and videos and interactive media, not just for education, but for advocacy storytelling, mm-hmm. bringing issues to life in ways that inspire members and listeners. I know most of our listeners are clinicians, but I also know we've got patients out there and they have a vested interest in their healthcare and want to get inside information on what those providers are thinking about and how they may address a particular disease or condition or stage of life.
Yeah. And you know, Heather, what I have found too, through my experience in hosting podcasts, is the listenership feels like they're part of a community. And when you're listening, you're like, oh, you're dealing with that too. Because it can feel very lonely when you're just in your day-to-day world. And then when you can listen to other leaders or challenges or people in your community, it gives you a sense of affirmation and like you're not in this alone. And to your point, it's not as formalized. So I love the platform personally. Obviously, I'm a little biased, but I love to see associations and leaders like yours or leaning into this type of platform because I think it does a lot of good. So now let's talk a little bit about something you mentioned at the beginning with the future of associations. The key to it is listening, right? So you cannot evolve and adapt if you don't understand what your members' needs are and what they want and what's important to them. So tell us a little bit about how you do that and how you formalize that feedback that you get and action it or what you do with that.
I'll address this in two different ways. There's one challenge that's happening right now, and it's because of the current political climate. So we have our members that want us to lean in and provide more resources and support. And yet we're also dealing with a climate that's retaliatory, where people are being threatened and sued and all of these different things. And so there's a balance that needs to happen where we need to protect the 501c3 status of the organization. We need to be true to our mission, and then we need to be true to our members. So this is a unique environment that I personally haven't experienced in my life. I'm pretty sure most of us haven't. And it's uncharted territory. Mm-hmm. So it's evolving. You know, I always say, let's be like water, you know, where we navigate the rocks and the boulders and we keep going down in that forward motion. So I think that all of those things need to be taken into consideration. The other thing is to have, and we did this during the pandemic, we had regular outgoing surveys that were done every other month. We didn't want to have too much survey fatigue, but we needed to understand what the challenges were that our members were facing during that time. And as you remember, you know, there weren't enough masks, there weren't enough gloves, right. We didn't have protective gear. There were not, you know, hoods that, you know, completely protected somebody from breathing in contaminated air. And so we were seeking input from our members on a regular basis and then taking that information and using that information in advocacy efforts, whether that was writing letters and including firsthand accounts, you know, anonymously unidentifiable information to Congress, to HHS, to all the powers that be, joining forces with other associations that were saying, hey, our folks out here are in grave need of these resources and we need you to prioritize this. The other thing is that We also look at a variety of communication channels, surveys, focus groups, member forums, real-time feedback at our events, those sort of things. So listening also means being open to feedback in less structured ways through emails and conversations, even social media interactions. That can give you sometimes a litmus test. Certainly can give you the ones that are in love with you and the ones that aren't. And I think that it's important to not just ask for feedback, but act on it and then report back. The reporting back is really important, and it's something that I believe we do a very good job on. We let folks know we heard you, and here's how we're responding based on your feedback on what that response should look like and what our capabilities and what keeps us in compliance with the laws and C3, you know, structure and needs. So I think that's really, really important. Unfortunately, not everybody has time to read everything. So sometimes things are missed, which is why it's important to use your various channels. So whether that's your app, your social media platform, your newsletter, your news section on your website page, all of those things need to be utilized.
Yeah, I think that's sound advice. You know, a couple things I want to underscore that you said. First is the actioning and reporting, because, you know, what I have found, especially leading employees, that when you ask their opinion, they want to feel heard, and they are actually more forgiving if you're honest with them about what you can and can't do. Just tell them. But what drives people crazy, whether you're a member or an employee, is if your opinion is asked and then you hear nothing about it. It's either we can do this and here's what we're doing, or we can't, here's why. And that goes a long way in building that transparency and relationship. And the other is nimble. So I'm fresh off the CEO conclave with the ASAE, where there was about 100 plus association CEOs. And one of the keynotes was talking about how often do we talk about things and then talk about them and have a meeting about them and talk about them more and don't actually do anything for a long, long time. And especially, I know in association worlds, it can be very bureaucratic, a lot of boards, et cetera. But cutting through red tape and being nimble, I think COVID taught us all a lot about that. And being nimble and acting fast is really important, especially as we navigate the future. Think about how quickly things have changed just in the new administration. And every day we're hit with new information and thoughts. So you have to be nimble and be able to respond. So those are two really important things that you highlighted. So thank you for sharing your experience on that and what you're doing about it.
I think a lot of associations, we want to do everything, but we can't. There's limited financial resources. There's limited staffing. But I think being honest is the only way to go, to be transparent. Yep. That is one thing that we have really, it is front and center in our work that we do as a team, as the staff, in how we communicate and what we share. There's quarterly reports on our advocacy efforts. There's monthly newsletters. And in all of those, there's social media posts. There's posts that are just for members in the app. Our app is just a members app. And that lets folks know what we're doing and what we're focused on. Our board president writes a monthly message so they can also see what's happening at the board level, which is really important. They can see what's happening at the staff level. Our committees report to the board. So there's all these different channels and ways to share information and share needs. And I think establishing those is really important. But then synthesizing it down to what's possible, what's not possible, and then letting folks know, we can't take this on right now. We're going to put this on the back burner. We love the idea. We just don't have the infrastructure to support something like that. Or we can respond in this way. I always try to find the yes. That is part of my personal philosophy, is look for the yes. And the no's just say, okay, it just means that you got to go around the boulder this way and keep moving forward.
That's great. Yeah, because we can't do it all, but trying to do or find ways to break through barriers is important. Well, you know, Heather, I speak to a lot of CEOs of associations, and certainly your position is challenging. Being at the center of women's healthcare in this climate is not an easy task. So we appreciate you sharing not just your experience, but your advice for other association executives and CEOs. So Heather, like all great leaders, you rely, I'm sure, on information that you come across through reading or information shared. So as you know, we ask all our guests to share some of their favorite books or books that have helped them in their journey. So what do you have for us?
So I'm gonna share a book that is pretty thick. Yeah. I think it's 900 pages with the index.
Okay.
It's titled These Truths, A History of the United States by Jill Lepore.
Wow.
And I will share with you, I'm in my mid-50s. It has been a long time since I have truly studied American history. And one of the things that I'm looking for, and the reason why I am reading this and why it's applicable to my current role and job, is history gives us a roadmap of what's happened in the past. And in particular, in this political climate, I am seeking to understand, how did we respond in the past when things were challenging? This is not the first time America is going through something like this. There's been times that were worse. I mean, we've had civil wars, we've had revolutions, and I am seeking those insights to help support the organization in understanding how we might navigate difficult situations.
And I love that.
In particular, the erosion of women's rights. I'm very proud to be a granddaughter, a great-granddaughter of a suffragist. My great-grandmother fought for women's right to vote in New York City and was very heavily involved in that chapter. And because of everything that's happening and bills that keep being introduced that are really putting women's and individuals' lives in danger, I want to seek ways for how we legally and peacefully were able to move things forward and what that looked like. Unfortunately, it wasn't always peaceful. Yeah. We know that the suffragists were force-fed, they were jailed, they protested in front of the White House day after day. You know, it's not easy work. And while there are things we can do individually as citizens, there's also things we can do as associations to support our mission. And for me, to understand our history is part of that. So all of this is having a play, and I'm hoping that some of that knowledge will help us and help me bring forth ideas and solutions that will support our clinicians in their everyday practice.
I have to say, you know, bravo, because a lot of people in your position would react in a very different way because they're trying to advocate, obviously. But when you take the time, because it's not an easy read, but to invest in seeking to understand and using that as guidance on how to act and how to take action, as you said, in a peaceful and meaningful way is in legal, is certainly no easy challenge. So I really commend you for doing that. And thank you for sharing. That's not easy reading. So I'm curious. I'll be curious to follow along and follow you on social media. And speaking of that, what is the best way for us to follow you and the journey and see how things progress in the environment we're in right now?
Sure. So I have a personal LinkedIn account, which is my name with the middle initial L. And then we, as an association, have social media channels on Instagram, on LinkedIn, and on Facebook, as well as a YouTube channel. And the association's channels have our different events, our clinical position statements, scientific journals and articles that our women's health nurse practitioners and other advanced practice registered nurses who are in women's and gender-related healthcare are publishing. So there's a lot of great resources. And it's an interesting time. And there are times where I'm a little scared about what's happening. I'm also hopeful. And I do believe that democracy will prevail. I think that we all need to join together to support defending it in the ways that we can. And that looks really differently for every individual as well as every association.
Great. Well, Heather, this was such a great conversation, very refreshing, and I love your perspective and, of course, the work you're doing. So thank you for being open and for sharing. And I look forward to, again, following your journey and your association's journey and seeing the outcomes. So thanks so much for your time.
Oh, thank you for having me, Christine. And thank you to Naylor for this platform and helping shed light on associations and the work that we do and the insight and lived experiences that we can share with listeners. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Association Advisor Podcast. brought to you by Naylor Association Solutions. To join our monthly newsletter, go to associationadvisor.com or just click the link in the show notes of this episode. Don't forget to follow us on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast so you won't miss an episode. See you next time.